Good Saturday morning. Shona Thompson with you on AM 900 CHML. This is the Smart Comfort Show with Insta Insulation. And really, we just got into fall officially. And you know, there's a little bit more chill in the air. Just a little bit. And that means the seasons are going to change. So planning and making sure that you've got a comfortable home going into winter, well, that planning has to come now. You might even be a little bit late. Alex Schutz is in with us from Insta Installation. The planning should go in right now, shouldn't it?
Well, I think the planning has begun. The last month with the hydro increases or the electricity increases, people have been active upgrading their homes already. So I think, yeah, but you know what? A little chill in the air. The phone is ringing a little bit more, and we're looking forward to a really good fall season.
Well, and it has been busy. I was wondering if part of the reason was because in our last show, and I've remembered this because I thought it was a really important example. You know, in summer, when you're cooling your house, you're not trying to keep the heat out. You're trying to keep the cool in.
No.
I have it backwards.
You got it backwards.
Okay.
So we're always trying to work with the heat. We're trying to keep the heat out in the summer, and we're trying to keep the heat in the winter. And we're really, really trying to keep the moisture out as well, or the moisture in, because the moisture is going to try to get from a high concentration to a low concentration. So that's where all the degradation of the products in our home, like the wood and the paper, that's where that comes from. The moisture trying to leave the home or trying to get into the home, and air conditioning and cold has a lot to do with that.
Okay. So when people are thinking about whether or not they need to do something about this, what are some of the things that they should be looking for and doing as they walk around their house?
Well, the one thing that when you're in the wintertime, right, it's easy. That's the obvious one. The snow is melting off my roof, and my neighbor's roof doesn't melt as quick as our roof, and therefore I have something's going on, right? Snow will also indicate specific areas of the home where you have more heat escaping than, say, the rest of the home. And that a lot of the times is a lot to do with air sealing. So you have an inside wall, for example, that isn't sealed on the top plate in the house. The blown insulation that's covering the top plate is inadequate. There's just not a lot there, so that the heat that's traveling up the inside wall in your home, or even the outside wall, but the outside wall usually has a little bit of insulation in it. The heat traveling up the inside wall will tend to rapidly get up to the top, right, through stack effect. And then it's going to leak through the electrical penetrations. And then you've got a lot more heat in there. And so you'll see the line across the roof line where the snow has melted more. And now that line is only like 4 inches on the base of the attic, right? In the attic floor, it's only a 4-inch wall. But by the time that heat gets up to the top of the roof, you've got a 2-foot wide strip of no snow. Right, so that's the first telltale sign. The second telltale sign: you don't have to walk around your house. You just got to open your energy bills, your electricity bills, your gas bills, and you know, people talk to each other, and they, you know, how much are you spending on gas? Right, it's pretty cool to be paying the least amount of gas. Well, unless your friends over, but they don't come over as much because you don't heat your home, right? So that happens as well. So, but
yeah, if you're handing sweaters out at the door as everybody's coming in,
hey, don't worry,
you might
have a
problem.
For you. Yeah, I have a pair of slippers for you. Here, here, put these on. But and then you know sometimes you have condensation on window surfaces. You'll have condensation behind your couch, stuff like that, which indicates that you know there's a lot of heat loss in certain areas. Mold will form in areas as well. That's a key indicator. Those are the main things. And comfort level, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of the times people don't feel comfortable sitting in, say, for a certain room in their house is colder than others. That room may not be properly insulated. We could help with that. Or you know, the HVAC again is not balanced. That's another issue. But comfort is probably the you know, after the obvious snow melt and the moisture in the home, then your comfort definitely is going to be affected.
Yeah. When you're talking about mold, I guess there are two factors that are in particular for mold to grow, and one is moisture, and yes. The other is a nice, warm, cozy environment.
Yes. It needs air, it needs moisture, and needs a food source. So, you know, the people talk about paperless drywall. That's a, you know, that's a, that helps. But the our houses, that's the way we build them, right? We build typically with wood. When you introduce wood in it, it's good, right? It keeps the cost of the housing down. If you build everything in concrete, it'd get pretty pricey.
Yeah. When people are doing upgrades to their home, because a lot of people do some DIY work, and you're putting in, you know, new electric, new piping, do people think about upgrading and making sure that that the insulation is still as solid and as good a seal as there was before?
Yeah, it, you know what? I think the fact that you know, we've been on, like, we've been on television a long time with Mike and Brian, and I think they've been educated on the better types of insulation. So I think that the spray foam industry in general has grown immensely in Ontario and across Canada, and so people are realizing that when they are renovating their homes, that it is a good time to upgrade their insulation as well. So, you know, in the old, like in a long time ago, people would say, oh, well, the rest of the house is not spray foamed, or the rest of the house is not well insulated. Who really cares about this reno? But I think we as Canadians are starting to invest in our homes a bit more. And we're looking at, you know, our home as somewhere that we want to enjoy, not just you will live and enjoy it. So now they're, you know, people are taking the initiative to, if they just do one room, right, we'll still come in and spray that one room with spray foam and make it nice and tight. And then you do the next room, we'll do that again and again and again. You know, four or five times, we got the whole house done, right? So, yes, people are making a conscious effort to actually do better work than, say, 10 years ago.
Now, you mentioned Mike and Brian.
Yep.
I know you don't really want to name drop, but I'm going to ask you. I'm assuming Mike is Mike Holmes.
Yep.
People might be somewhat familiar with his name.
Yeah, well, Mike Holmes. So we worked with Mike for over 10 years. We've been working with him since season 2, I believe, of Homes on Homes. We went through Homes Inspection and Make It Right, and some specials as well. I can't even Lean On Me, I guess. That was another big special. There's been some big projects there, but that's been a fantastic relationship. Mike Holmes is very, very, how do you say, poignant. He's to the point.
Oh, yeah.
His main objective was always to educate the consumer. And it was kind of funny because in season, what, 7 or something, we'd have this conversation. He'd say, "You think people would get it?" You know, after 7 years, and now it's 10, he says, after 7 years, they still send me emails to say, you know, I've done this and I've hired this contract. And he said, you know what, I've been doing this for 7 years, trying to educate people to make sure that they get it in writing, hire the right contractor, and still people are coming to me to try to solve their problems, right? It was kind of funny because, you know, the whole premise of the show is be careful what you're, who you're hiring, right?
Well, I had the opportunity of interviewing Mike Holmes several years ago. And one of the things I said to him was, when I was watching his show, I kind of went through a progression, and I think a lot of viewers do, where I started out being kind of horrified at some of the things that had happened to people. Then I felt intimidated because I wasn't sure that I'd be able to ask the right questions. But now, having been a viewer for so long, I'm starting to think that I do know some of the questions that you should ask. And one of the things that has been made very clear is, if you get the good bones in your house, you take care of the good basics, the rest of the stuff that's really cosmetic, that'll come along too. But where you're, if you're going to invest in something, invest in the stuff that really counts, and insulation is one of them.
Very much so, Shona. I always tell people, you know, the insulation's not an easy thing to replace. Your drywall's really not super easy to replace, but everything in front of that, well, the electrical's not easy to replace. So your electricity, you want to make sure, your electrical stuff, you want to make sure that's done properly. But everything else, your trim around your windows, and even your windows, I hate to say it, and I know window guys won't like me saying this, right? A window can be popped out in a day and put back on. You can put a new trim around it, right? You can dress it up. Kitchen countertops are easy to change. Kitchen cabinets, faces, even the cabinets themselves can all be changed very quickly. Flooring, quickly as well. You know, I like the granite countertop analogy is probably my favorite. You know, the roof your roof of your house. I mean, the average roof on a new home is pretty cheap to install. The granite countertop probably costs more than the roof that's on the house. And really, the roof is protecting us from all the elements, right?
Yeah. Keeps it's protecting everything, including the granite.
Including the granite, but yet we'll spend more money on the granite. So, you know what? The bones are really simple, right? Frame the house correctly, insulate it correctly, put the wiring in place, a sheetrock, and everything else is cosmetic. Everything in the home, right? Including the fixtures, right?
Yeah.
And the thing that we forget is, after about 10 to 12 years, we want to give the house a facelift on the inside anyways. You get bored with what's there, right? The house, your dynamics of your family changes, and you're going to want to change it anyways, right? The kids' toy room or the playroom turns into a den or a media room or a library or something else, right? Because the kids don't have the toys anymore, the same toys. They don't occupy, they don't need the same kind of space to lay out all their stuff, right? I've been through this, so I'm speaking from experience.
It's a very specific example you're giving.
Yeah. So I did that a couple of years ago. So that was quite interesting. And now as the family grows and the way we, you know, the media we use, like being online and how we organize ourselves and everything's a lot of computer, everything's on computer, right? So there's obviously not enough computers in most people's houses to get everybody on at once. I mean, we fight for our desktop. We're not laptop. We like laptops, but the desktop, as far as I'm concerned, I still prefer that over the laptop. Bigger screens, bigger keyboard, fat fingers kind of deal, right?
We're going to take a short break on AM900 CHML. This is the Smart Comfort Show. Alex Schutz, our guest from Insta Insulation. When we come back, we're going to be talking about another on-air relationship that Alex has had for a number of years and a great working relationship. But we're also going to get to some of the emails that have come into CHML since we started doing this show with Alex. And we'll get to what some of those questions are when we come back on AM900 CHML. Shona Thompson with you on AM900 CHML. Alex Schutz from Insta Insulation is in with us. This is the Smart Comfort Show on AM900 CHML. Alex, just before the break, we were talking about the ongoing relationship that your company has had with Mike Holmes and over a number of the different television shows that he has done. But he's not the only TV personality in the home improvement and repair sector that you've had a relationship with.
No, Shona, we've done a lot of work with Brian Baumler from DIY Disaster or Disaster DIY and House of Brian, all three of them, and we're with Brian Inc., which is pretty exciting. He's working a lot really closely with Sarah, and that's been a fantastic relationship. Brian is a good contractor and has a very good contracting business alongside his TV show. So he does employ a lot of good people, project managers and installers and so on and so forth, carpeters. So I'm very blessed to have worked with both of them and continue to work with them in many capacities. So we're probably on 4 to 5 Brian sites right now, whether it be his construction company or, you know, Leave It to Brian, which is a highly rated show on HGTV as well.
Okay. I wanted to ask you a question, and I'm kind of surprised I haven't asked you this before. What's the Insta in Insta Insulation?
What's the Insta? Well, you're dropping that one on me here. So it's good. So when I first was exposed to the spray foam, there wasn't lots of spray foam out there. I've been doing this 25 years. And when my dad came to me and said, "Hey, I have a need for this. Would you do it?" I think we talked about this last time. And then it was instant, right? The spray foam is there. It's instantly right there. So we called it Insta. That's really where the name came from. I'm not good or bad. Not a lot of thought went into that, but it did take off and we did make it work. And we're still here 25 years later. So although the foam is instant, we're not instantly gone, so we're still here, so that's good.
That's very good. That actually brings us to one of our first emails, and our writer is saying, Alex, we had Insta price a small job for us, and they were the only company that priced a job where the foam that they were using required them to move out overnight. Is there another product you could use instead of that insulation where we don't need to leave our home for the night?
So I understand the question. I'm not quite sure if the person, one of the salesperson from our company that went out to price this job, and hopefully is it done or not done, I don't know. But it definitely, we do our best to educate the consumers when we go out to the home. Spray foam, I don't know of a spray foam that you don't need to be out for 24 hours. I really don't. We make it part of our policy, and we stand behind, or we look at the building code and our and the product specifications and the standard to guide us on how these installations need to happen. So in the standards guide, you will see standard. It says that you need to be out of the home for 24 hours. We take that to a little bit more of a customer interaction point and make sure that they're educated to know why it is that they need to be out for 24 hours. Now, spray foam is manufactured on site. Okay, so if you bought a board of insulation at the building yard, at Lowe's or wherever you buy your stuff, that board is made in a factory. It sits out for a few days. It's done. It's cured. Okay. When we spray foam, we're spraying in the home, and so that all the gases that are coming off there, while it's mixing the plastic, which spray foam is, it's plastic, it airs out, right? So it's going into the home.
And that's an enclosed space.
Exactly. Yeah. It's enclosed. You can't control that environment. And therefore, the government or the regulatory bodies have said, okay, then you need to be out for 24 hours, which makes total sense. You know, I can't stop people from coming back into the house. And I know people do go back into the house. And there's no way I can stop that. I can just give them the advice and tell them that this is the way you need to be out for 24 hours. Over the 25 years, I've never had an issue. We've never had an issue with somebody breathing in, you know, fumes, getting ill. The isocyanate, which is part of the spray foam, is a lung irritant. It's a known lung irritant. So, therefore, it's people can get start coughing, you know, shortness of breath, so on and so forth. So it's in the best interest of the purchaser, the consumer, to leave the home for 24 hours. And let us do our job and then come back in once it's safe. We are very transparent with that. There is no other products. There's no products that I know of readily available that you can stay in the home. But you know, you could ventilate the home essentially. When we do, we use fresh air, supplied fresh air into the home. And then we also have extraction equipment that will vent it out. Depending on the situation, but still then there's no guarantee, right? Unless you have an independent lab come in or an independent testing agency come in there and check the home, make sure there's no irritants in the air, so on and so forth. I mean, that gets costly as well. By the time you get a hotel room or stay with a family member or something like that, that's probably cheaper.
Yeah, and very important in the process. You know, you don't want your kids to be.
No, you don't want it. Yeah. You don't want. We take it seriously, right? It's also. I mean, we care, right? So we lose a couple jobs because we don't. Because we tell people they need to be out for 24 hours. So what? We don't need to have a call back saying, "Hey, listen, you never told us that." It's in our paperwork. It's all in all our emails to tell our customers and scheduling, so on and so forth. And we're very transparent with that. We don't want it. That's what differentiates us, right? If you're a contractor that does a lot of new construction, a lot of commercial work, so on and so forth, it's very difficult to time your jobs for an individual homeowner. Our business is based on working for the individual homeowner, going into houses that are occupied. Okay, so when we say we're going to be there, 95% sure we're going to get there the day of, right? Probably higher. I just don't like making that expectation that can leave some room for error. But most jobs that we schedule go the day that they are scheduled, and only when we can absolutely not get there will we have to postpone. And that doesn't happen happens very rarely.
Okay. Can I take another email?
Sure you can.
Okay. Alex, I have a crawl space with a dirt floor bottom. But that happens a lot. What is the best way to approach insulating this? I would really like to use spray foam.
Well, that's a good question, actually. There's a couple things missing in that question. I don't know if it's the crawl space is closed. I take it it's closed in, so it must have walls in it, because there's, you know, the cantilever crawl space where there's an overhang with a not so tall space underneath where you need to get underneath. The first thing with a dirt bottom in even a basement, right? You can have dirt, like old basements that have a dirt floor. I call them the dirt floor in them. The amount of moisture coming through the ground is always, you got to keep that in consideration, right? How close are you to the water? How low lying is it? How wet is it? How wet will it get? Because if there's a lot of moisture being driven from the ground, you got to really understand the space and make sure that moisture can get away. If the place is fairly dry and we can control that moisture, at minimum, I would recommend spray foaming the walls of the crawl space. Above that, a better approach would be even to put poly over the floor and then insulating those walls.
Okay, you say poly.
Poly meaning 6 mil plastic, vapor barrier, essentially vapor barrier poly plastic all over the ground. And that would control some of the moisture coming through. You can tape the joints and then run that poly up the wall a little bit and then spray foam onto the poly, up the wall, into the joist cavities. Now, what that does is it creates a envelope, essentially. I call it a swimming pool effect, right?
Yeah.
And the heat from the upper part will transfer into that area, and that area will get more comfortable, and your floor will essentially be the same temperature as the room above it, and most of the area in there is the same temperature. That creates a lot of comfort. That is very effective when you have heat runs or heat ducts running through the crawl space, okay? Because then all the line loss from those ducts will heat that crawl space, and essentially the warmest air is going to be on the underside of the floor.
And I would think it would make those heat ducts as well more efficient in return over time, because you're not losing that to the ground.
Yeah, that's correct. That is very true. But the other, if we go back to what I first said about if there's no walls, right? If you had a crawl space with no walls, those heat, and you had to, essentially, you'd have to insulate the floor, right? Then you'd spray foam the bottom of the floor and wrap the duct and then insulate it that way. That is a educational piece that our sales staff will talk to you about, talk to the consumer about, or the customer about, or potential customer, when we go in to look at this, because a lot of crawl spaces are add-ons to homes. Okay, they're an afterthought, and they tie them into the existing HVAC system to heat the area, and sometimes the furnace is not big enough to run that, right? And
Addition on the house, but the same furnace as
same
before.
Same furnace as before. Yeah. So it's sized for the house, not for the exactly. So, and the other thing with the add-ons, a lot of them are sunrooms, or they're basically a sitting room or something where people want to have like good visual, like just kind of lounge space, and they end up putting a lot of windows in these areas. And windows are fantastic for visual, and for light. But they're very bad for energy efficiency. So when you build a room and you put more square footage of window or more area of window in the room, you're essentially that the heat loss in that room is greater than most other rooms because the windows in the other rooms are smaller. Plus they're in the area where they're closer to the furnace, so on and so forth. So when you spray foam underside of a floor, for example, right, and especially if you got tile or hardwood, laminate, solid surface floors, right, they tend to stay cold. When you spray foam the underside of a floor, the coldest air is lying on the floor, right, the warmest is at the top. You don't gain a lot of comfort, and then you got these windows that have a lot of heat loss. Those rooms don't become comfortable. So when you get into those situations, you almost need to understand what the HVAC system is, and then think about a secondary source of heat, whether it be a fireplace in a room like that or electric baseboard or something like that. I know people cringe when I say electric baseboard.
Certainly now.
Well, hey, if you had a spray foamed house, a fully spray foamed house, and you had electric heat in it, it wouldn't be so bad. So, I mean, a lot of things can be overcome by insulating, right? My motto is the most efficient furnace is the one that doesn't need to turn on, right?
That's very true.
You know, I've literally had people call me and say, hey, I can heat my house with a candle. So, you know what? There is ways to insulate your home properly, and we can show you how.
Yeah. Especially nowadays, the most efficient furnace is one that doesn't come on. We've got a few minutes till the next break, but I wanted to get to this third email that we have. Alex, the room over my garage is hot in the summer and cold in the winter. What can I do to make it more comfortable?
Okay, so this is something we see quite frequently. The whole house would have to be the same. It can't just be the garage unless, again, it's a detached part of the house set on a separate attic. But if it's cold in the winter and warm in the summer, that really probably is a double whammy. Your attic insulation is the first one, okay? How much insulation is in that attic, right? If there's only 6 inches of blown fiberglass or something like that, you definitely got to upgrade that. And when you're upgrading that insulation, you need to upgrade the ventilation too. Make sure that the soffits are open, that the house is breathing before you install more blown insulation. Is there adequate roof ventilation? Is the heat being drawn out of that attic so that the insulation doesn't get saturated with heat? Okay, before, those are things you got to assess. That's what we do. We go into homes, we assess what's first of all, what is their concern, right? Where is their comfort level? Where do you want it to be? And where can we take you? Where would you like to spend that money? And then, of course, if it's going to be a garage, the garage floor, right? The garage or the floor of the second floor, garage ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. Is it well insulated? And that's where spray foam comes in. Spray foam in that garage ceiling will do two things. One, increase the comfort level up above, and two, stop the carbon monoxide transferring from the vehicles into the upper floor, which is definitely a concern as well.
Absolutely a safety issue there. Sometimes it happens and, mistakes happen. Maybe it wasn't properly insulated when the construction was done. There either wasn't any or enough insulation put in between where the garage is and where that bedroom is. What can be done aftermarket about that?
Well, the best way to go about it is to remove the garage ceiling, remove the drywall, and then take out what's there and put in the spray foam. There's a couple different techniques you can use to insulate that as well. You could dense pack it with cellulose, right? Inject it. I know there's some contractors out there that use some injection foam, and I've never really had a lot of luck with it. I like to think that when I used to install, I could guarantee you that, there's going to be a really good job, and the testing equipment, so on and so forth. When you are, every owner of every company would like to think that when they send somebody out to go do a job, that it's going to get done to 100% satisfaction and 100% perfect, right? And the truth is that very rarely is it done right. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of products out there that are great products, but when a person gets a hold of them and tries to install them correctly, they don't do it right. The product's now not as effective as it's meant to be. We consciously make an effort to do things so that we can succeed, like that it gets done right. Injecting any kind of product is not a guaranteed solution. There's not going to be perfect, right? So, drilling holes into something and filling a full insulation, saying to the customer, it's full. I'd rather take the drywall down, spray it. You can see for yourself what you're getting. That makes me feel good.
And know that it's in every nook and cranny that needs
to
be filled. Exactly.
Yeah, so
we're going to take a short break on AM 900 CHML. This is the Smart Comfort Show, brought to you by Insta Insulation. And our guest, Alex Schutz, is in with us. He'll be back with more information in just a moment on AM 900 CHML. The This is the Smart Comfort Show on AM 900 CHML. It's brought to you by Insta Insulation. And Alex Schutz is in with us. Now, just before the break, we were talking in particular about a situation where there is a cold or hot room, depending on the season, over top of a garage. And you were talking about different kinds of insulation that are out there. I know that you have spray foam insulation that you do. What are the benefits of spray foam over some other products that people might be familiar with?
Well, the spray foam is a it's an all-in-one product. Okay, you're getting a very good insulation material. It's and the foams we prominently spray are closed cell, like Insulthane Extreme. It's a and it's its own vapor barrier. So the benefit, the biggest benefit of spray foam is that, well, there's multiple benefits, but the benefit comes down to the fact that it's installed, the spray foam is installed on site to the surface. To a surface means it's bonded to the surface, okay? So it's going to seal up that area, and you don't need other materials, mastics, plastic, an air barrier sheathing maybe, right? Those types of things in order for it to be effective. It's just that by itself. 1 inch of spray foam is going to give you a good air barrier. A little bit more will give you a great vapor barrier, right? So now you have all those components for that makes a good insulation system in one. But the biggest benefit that I can see in my 25 years of experience is the fact that spray foam, right, at the proper thickness, whether it's hot in the summer, cold in the winter, because it's its own vapor barrier, doesn't have to deal with the having the vapor barrier on the wrong side. It's its own vapor barrier. So if you have moisture driving in from outside in the summertime, right, because warmer outside, moisture's driving in, you are protected, right? The moisture's not getting into the home. The same goes for in the winter when the moisture's inside the house and the heat is driving out of the home, you're stopping that moisture from getting into the wall cavity. What does that mean? That means we're not going to have condensation inside that wall cavity. We're not going to rot the wood. We're not going to have mold. Okay? I've never in 25 years seen a wall rot out because of a improper vapor barrier with spray foam. I've seen walls rot out because of air, of moisture penetration from outside due to a leak, improper caulking and waterproofing on the outside, but I've never seen the mold be attributed to the actual spray foam, right?
Mm-hmm. So, one of the other things that I was poking around your website, which is excellent, there's a ton of information that people can take a look at there. But one of the things I saw was about insulation removal and why people might want to do that. And certainly at this time of year, with things getting a little bit cooler out there, one of the major factors is something that people really have to watch out for. And it was a bit of a shock to me.
Yeah, the removing your insulation really stems from, I guess the first one is infestation of getting cooler outside right now. Makes you, you know, the mice are going somewhere, right? They're going for the heat.
They want a nice warm place
to
stay for winter.
They need a nice warm place as well, yeah. I was in a house yesterday, actually, and this person had bought a home. Up in just north of Burlington and north side of Burlington, beautiful area, right, Appleby. And they brought it from the original owner, and it was infestation was squirrels. And then the lady who lived in the house, she had cats, and she didn't let her cats out.
Mm.
So you can imagine what kind of treats I ran into as we were doing the removals and stuff. The cats were getting in everywhere. And it was bad. And so anyway, so what we do is we can go into the attics or the area of the home and remove the insulation with a vacuum truck, which is very clean, right? So that's one of the reasons you'd remove insulation. The other one that's getting very common, right? Because we're running out of space, right? Toronto doesn't have space. Oakville doesn't have as much space. Mississauga doesn't have any space, right? So people are adding second floors, second and third floors even, to their homes. So if you were to rip the roof off a house and then expose the blown insulation that's up there, it's going to blow all over the neighborhood. So we go in there before the roof gets ripped off. We suck out all the insulation. and we dispose of it. That's one of the reasons why you do it. And the other reason would be is, you know what? Houses need to be maintained, right? After 25, 30 years, you're gonna change the way you live in the house. Things are getting changed. And at some point, the old insulation is not as effective. The standards have increased for as air tightness goes. We have more moisture in our homes, right? Dishwashers, people taking two showers a day, right? Animals, right? Aquariums,
or everything. They've added a bathroom into a home.
Oh, bathroom, eh? And then the jacuzzi tubs and maybe even a swimming pool. Hopefully not. I've never seen an actual.
Hopefully not on the top floor anyway.
Not on the top floor, but the moisture ends up there. That's where the moisture ends up. So the hottest air is going to take the moisture, is going to bring it up. So it doesn't matter where you produce the moisture in your home. This is a good point, right? You doesn't matter where you make the moisture in your home, whether it be in the basement, it's going to end up in the attic. Okay, so, you know, even where underground streams, for example. So, you know, you can't explain why the one house has got a lot of moisture in it, right? And you go down to the basement, it feels fairly dry down there, but yet there's a ton of moisture up in the attic. And, you know, that's what could be right from the ground source where there's extra moisture coming into the home. So, you know, back to the removals. Removals will, you know, when you remove all the insulation, you expose the attic deck. Now you can properly air seal that attic deck and install a vapor barrier. That's where spray foam comes in. Right? Nice, good thick layer of insulation, spray foam it down. And the benefit again, customer can see it. Once it's done, you leave it for 24 hours, the customer goes up in the attic and can see what he's paying for or she's paying for, and we can go from there.
And there's that confidence that the job's been done right.
That's right.
We're going to take a short break on AM 900 CHML and be right back on the Smart Comfort Show, brought to you by Insta Insulation. Hi, Shona Thompson with you. Alex Shutt is in with us this hour. He is our expert. Insta Insulation is bringing you the Smart Comfort Show. And this is the time of year, you know, we've been talking a lot about the changeover this season. We're just now brand spanking new into fall, and it's finally starting to feel a little bit like it. It's a few degrees cooler than it was before. We've been talking about different situations in your home that you may want to consider as the seasons change, and maybe you just don't want to pay as much for heating as you did last year, and insulation is a great place to start with that.
Yes, I think it's it's probably one of the only ways to do that. You know, you could buy a new furnace that's 94% efficient, or you can insulate and not have the furnace turn on at all, right? That's back to my analogy again. But an upgrade of an attic, for example, from an R12 maybe, which a lot of houses have, mm-hmm. you know, 60s, 70s, an R12 to an R50 is going to yield you, 25 to 30% savings on your energy bills. Okay, so it's a no-brainer. Most of those attics are going to pay for themselves very, very quickly, not to mention the comfort level. You know, I see this, going Homestars, for example. You read our reviews there. You'll see people that had their attics increased even this year in the summertime, and they've noticed how much cooler their houses or their second floors are cooler. The same benefit exists when you insulate in the fall, and in the wintertime, the housing upstairs is a warmer because the heat's not dissipating as quickly.
Yeah, you're more comfortable and for a longer period of time and for less money.
Yes, longer period of time is important, because if you're longer, that means your furnace is probably not cycling, right? Mm-hmm. That drives me, when I was a kid, I remember the furnace turning over and over and over. The house wasn't as well insulated as it is now. And you'd hear that thing turn on. And I can only imagine what my parents were thinking when they were listening to that furnace kick on and kick on and kick on and kick on. Now I don't hear a furnace at all, actually.
The old pink insulation, the fiberglass stuff.
Yes.
That seemed to be in like every home everywhere. Does that break down?
It does break down. All insulations break down to a certain degree. Spray foam, for example, is not very good, UV stable. If you leave fiberglass in moisture, right, it breaks down. So, where does moisture come from? Fiberglass, well, it comes from everywhere. Remember, we talked about the moisture dry from the outside of the house, right? If you don't have a very good air barrier, or you don't have a very good vapor barrier, you have moisture entering that insulation. Now, when the fiberglass gets wet, right, it'll get heavy, right? It'll start pulling down on itself. It doesn't maintain its structural integrity. and therefore you cause gaps in the insulation, right? And then you cycle that over year, after year, and the insulation breaks down. The best thing about the spray foam, as opposed to the fiberglass, then, is when it's installed in the wall cavity, it's not affected by moisture. There's no UV at it, so it's going to be like that forever. It's plastic, right? So it's going to maintain its efficiency. If you talk to people that have these fiberglass homes, I'll say the first couple of years it was pretty good. It was comfortable, so on and so forth. Energy bills weren't too bad, but as the home ages and it cycles, it gets worse and worse and worse. And the thing with insulations is they're all tested the same type of in a lab, and they're tested not with any type of cycling as far as the R value goes, the resistance to heat flow. And you know, a product like spray foam, being plastic, it's going to maintain. It's a high R value. It's going to maintain its adhesion. It's going to stay in that cavity. It's not going to settle. It's not going to be affected, okay? That's why after, 10, 15 years later, these people with these spray foam homes are still saying, wow, I'm so glad I invested in spray foam because it works.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I was thinking about that is because you were talking about the importance of the attic and that everything seems to just, well, like a chimney, it all goes up to the attic, out of sight, out of mind. And I'm wondering when the last time was most people actually went up to their attic and checked things out up there.
Yeah, we find most people don't check their attics. I think it's one of Mike's books where there's a really good checklist for homeowners to take to what they should be looking at, right? The obvious ones, the eaves trough, right? Caulking around the windows and the outside of the house. Your weeping holes in the bottom of your bricks, for example, make sure that they're open so that the water can get out. Those little ones, right? But the attic is one that's probably overlooked. You gotta get a ladder out. A lot of people build inside their closets. They, the sweaters are stacked to the ceiling and you can't get at it. It's work, right?
Yeah.
But it's almost, you should really plan that, right? Especially, like I know some things are kind of, twice a year, like your smoke detector, you change batteries in smoke detector, should be maybe add that to the list as well. I mean, for nothing else, is one, do I have a roof leak? Check to see what the roof's doing. And two, are there any critters up there, right? Because, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And that's why my husband is going to be checking the attic. Alex, I can't believe the hour has gone by so quickly again. What's the contact information for people who want to get in touch with you?
You can reach me right at the office at 1-800-668-0311. That's the R800 line. You can just get me anytime. Ask the expert at instinstallation.com is my email, or Alex Schutz Alex Schutz on Twitter. So I can be gotten that way.
Yeah. And again, have somebody go up to your attic.
Yeah.
And you see clients all over Southern Ontario.
It's peace of mind. Going in your attic, peace of mind. It's easy. Yes, we will service anything from Sarnia all the way to Pickering on a daily basis.
Awesome. Our next show is coming up on October 22nd, and that is the Smart Comfort Show with our guest, Alex Schutz of Insta Insulation on AM 900 CHML.